We've been talking about the vision of our church, and basically in three words, we sum up who we are as a church: people that reach out, people who grow spiritually, and people who love God and love others. And that's who we're called to be. And today we're going to take a look at the aspect of growing spiritually. I want to first ask the question, why should we be concerned, or why should we be even concerned about growing spiritually? I believe that as we develop our spirit man, it will increase and enhance our relationship with God. And spiritual growth doesn't just happen in our lives. Spiritual growth happens because we pursue it. So today I want to talk about where to begin. What are the goals of the people of the church? As pastor, I've been asking the question, what are we expecting from our people? What do we expect to find in our people? In many cases, churches as a whole have failed to communicate and develop a plan or a goal for people to grow spiritually. I believe the average Christian doesn't even know where they're supposed to end up. You know, we talk about, you know, be a good Christian, go to church, read your Bible, pray. But sometimes it's not specific enough. We don't know what a spiritually mature person's supposed to look like. What do we expect to find in our people? I think sometimes people, that's why we have people going from church to church or thing to thing, because they're looking to grow spiritually. They're looking to develop themselves. And they don't know what the end result is supposed to look like. So they look here and they look there, and after the newness wears off, they keep looking for something else. But I believe that the Word of God contains the blueprint, that we must search it out and discover what is the plan that God has for us to grow spiritually. Over in Philippians, the second chapter, if you want to take a moment and turn there, you know, the Apostle Paul had a relationship with Timothy. He was kind of his spiritual father. We read in Philippians, the second chapter, verse 19, it says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus, but you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served me in the gospel." Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians during his first imprisonment. And notice what his major points are. He is concerned with the welfare of others. He is not just interested in himself. He doesn't Paul doesn't seek out help for himself. He's talking about assistance for other people. I think the best place to start when we talk about spiritual growth is we need to have a heart or interest in other people. And that's what we've been talking about, that it's not just about us, that we have to care about other people. We live in a self-centered world. I think it's best defined by the craze with, you know, today's world, selfies. You know, it just kind of defines the climate that we live in. You know, and the Bible even talks about in the last days that people will be lovers of self. Selfishness, it's on the rise. We see that Timothy had the same concerns that Paul did. All others seek their own, but not Timothy. Paul had many people with him, and they had many callings. And you know, he rebuked them because they did not have the same interest. As Christians, we all should have the same basic interest. What will provide unity in the body is the promotion of these basic interests. We become mature Christians by discovering our role in the body. There is a strong parallel between growing up physically and growing up spiritually. As a baby is born, that baby can do very little for itself. It is relying on others for survival, for food, for clothing, etc. When we get born again, we too must learn who we are in Christ Jesus, learn to use our faith, learn how to pray, learn how to use the Word of God efficiently. And it's when we become adults that we understand our responsibilities, and then we can turn and care for other people. The process of spiritual growth in our life is guided by the Holy Spirit. He is our teacher and he is our guide. The Bible says that we are laborers together with God. God didn't leave us here on our own to figure everything out. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, "For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry and you are God's building." Notice the word "with." We are laborers with God. He is the leader and we are the followers. He determines where we work. He determines what is to be done. We've also read from the scripture over in 2 Corinthians where it talks about we are ambassadors for Christ. Remember the role of an ambassador. They don't go and do their own thing. They go and speak on behalf of the one that sent them. We are ambassadors for Christ. You don't get to do your own thing when you're an ambassador. And we need to remind ourselves of that we're not our own. We've been bought with a price. We belong to Christ. And so we should be looking to grow spiritually. We should be looking for direction for what God wants us to be doing. As we've looked through the New Testament, we can see the three basic interests that God has. We said that the first one's found in the Gospels, the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It reveals God's interest for the lost. God cares about lost people, and he is seeking and looking to save them. We said that the second thing that we see as God's interest is found in the book of Acts. Acts talks about the acts of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God is interested in people being filled with the Spirit of God, that the Holy Spirit could help them through life. And we said that the third interest is the letters to the churches, the epistles. God is interested in people growing spiritually. God wants people to grow spiritually. And so our call is to be fulfilling these tasks. I think that sometimes we have the wrong expectations or the wrong ideas about spiritual growth. We expect everyone in the church to act like Jesus. Well, that would be nice, and that is the goal, but we want everyone to be faithful. We want everyone to be committed. We want everyone to have a good attitude. We want everyone to live holy lives. We want everyone to love God and to put him first. And well, people don't act like that all the time. They should, but we shouldn't be disappointed or frustrated when people don't act like Jesus all the time. People are at different levels of maturity in Christ, and we have to be patient. We have to understand that we're working with people at all levels in Christ. And people are endeavoring to grow spiritually and coming up. But we need to be patient when working with other people in the body of Christ. And so let's talk about what it is to be spiritual. How do we grow spiritually? Is it all based on our emotions? Do I feel spiritual? Am I spiritual because I go to church? Am I spiritual because I carry a Bible? How do we determine if we are spiritual or if we are growing spiritually? Using your emotions and your feelings is not a safe guide. Many of us don't have a realistic view of what it means to be spiritual. We think that a spiritual person's one that prays 8 hours a day, or they can prophesy, or they can preach a fiery sermon, or they can someone who can raise the dead or do a great miracle. Well, we see from the scriptures that those things are not indications whether people are growing spiritually. All those things are good and they have their place, but remember Balaam's donkey. God used the donkey to speak, right? And so it doesn't indicate whether it was supernatural, but it doesn't indicate spiritual growth. I find that spiritual things are a lot like natural things. We know in the life of a child, we can clearly see if a child is growing and maturing in measurable ways. For those of you that are parents, you have a greater understanding. When our kids were little, we would tell them to hang up their coat. We would tell them to put their shoes in the closet, pick up their wet towel in the bathroom. We would tell them those things. And what is the goal of telling your children those things? Is it just to nag them for the rest of their life? Is it so that you could be an authority figure in their life? Is it that you could be lorded over them and tell them that you're the one in charge? No, the reason we tell our children these things is so that they will learn how to do these things and eventually, hopefully, not with the prodding of mom and dad. that will show growth in their life in that particular area. When your kids come home and finally hang up their own coat without you telling them, that will show growth in their life. Well, the same is true spiritually. You know, when you first get saved, we have to remind you to pray. We have to remind you to read the Word. We have to remind you to come to know who you are in Christ Jesus. We have to remind you of all these things. And it's not for the purpose of us being spiritual and you being ignorant. It's rather so that you could grow in these areas and then you yourself become mature in the things of God. So there are four main principles we can gain from the Word of God to help us to grow spiritually. I want to look at those this morning. Number one, know who your Heavenly Father is. Know who your Heavenly Father is. If you don't know who your Heavenly Father is, it's difficult to grow spiritually because we're supposed to become like Him. We're supposed to become like Him. We need to know who He is and what He does and what His interests are. It all starts here. It's impossible to love as He did if you don't know Him. Know what He can do. Know what He has said. Know what He has promised. You will never ask Him for things if you don't know what He can do. So knowing your Heavenly Father will give you a sense of identity. You know, that's an important piece of growing spiritually. When children grow up in a home, they need to know who they are. I know when I was a kid and I was growing up in my family, I was known as one of the Claffies. Of course, I was the youngest of 10, but there was a crowd of us, and it was a sense of identity. I grew up in a certain home with parents, and it was my identity of who I was. Your children need to know who they are in relationship to you. They need to know you as a father or a mother. When people talk of God doing something, you know, you need to know who He is. You need to recognize characteristics about your family. You know, our family was loud and noisy. We were a lot of fun. We had always had lots of people over, lots of food. It was a crazy upbringing, in a good way. But I knew who we were. That's who our family was and is today. And so when you think about that, there are characteristics about who your Heavenly Father is that you should know about Him. If someone says something about your Heavenly Father that doesn't match up with the Word of God, it's not consistent with His character, you should reject it because you know who your Heavenly Father is. When I hear people say things like, well, God is giving me this sickness to teach me something, I know in my heart that that's not true. Because my Father has come to seek and save that which was lost. Our God is a healer. Our God is a deliverer. Our God is a provider. Our God is a savior. And so we need to understand and come to know who He is. When you know Him as a Father, it'll give you an identity. It'll give you a sense of belonging. It'll give you a sense that He wants you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God loves us. He cares about us. He cherishes us. He is your Father. And so when people say things that are contrary to who your Father is, you should reject them. They don't know God like they should. And perhaps you can be a catalyst in their life to encourage them to come to know God as you know them, as you know Him. You can speak truth. You can remind them of who God is. You know, as a parent, I want good things for my children. I don't ever want them to be in harm. I don't ever want them to go without. I don't ever want them to be in need. I don't ever want them to have sickness. I don't ever want them to be in poverty. It doesn't, you know, and I will do all I can that's within my limited power to help them. But thank God, you know, God is the same way. God has unlimited resources. God has unlimited power. And God is mighty to save and mighty to deliver and mighty to heal, mighty to work in our lives. So we know that God wants great things for us and God will never harm us. God doesn't tempt us with evil. God doesn't put evil things in our lives to make us better people. Certainly, you know, there are times when we get our own life in a mess and we open the door to things and, you know, the enemy has an opportunity to move in our life. But God, that's not God's plan. That's not God's best. God wants good things. God has good desires for us. I think of, what does God want for my life? What does God want for your life? Every good and perfect gift cometh down from our Father of lights. Get to know your Heavenly Father. That's the first one. The second one is know who you are in relationship to Him. You need to know who you are. This speaks of righteousness that we have in Christ Jesus. God has made us righteous. Not anything that we've earned or we've done. It's because of what He's done. You need to know who you are to God. The Word of God is full of descriptions of what God thinks of you and who you are in Christ. Begin to dig into these truths. Dig them out of the Scriptures and learn who you are. Learn who you are spiritually. That's going to help you grow. That's going to help you develop yourself spiritually. When you understand who you are in relationship to God, it will bring a new confidence in your life. When I learned that God wanted to answer my prayer, when I learned that God had a good and pleasing will for my life, it changed how I came to God. I don't have to beg God. I'm not a worthless, nothing piece of garbage. God highly esteems me. God loves me. He cares about me, and He wants to answer my prayers. So I don't have to beg Him, because He is ready to hear my prayers and He is ready to respond. And the same is true with you. We need to understand who we are. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are joint heirs with Christ. We are in Him. We live and move and have our being. We are loved by God. And we don't have to beg. We don't have to think that we are unworthy or less than. And if we mess up in our life, thank God He'll forgive us. The Bible says if we repent, He'll forgive us and wash us clean. You need to know who you are in relationship to Him. Too many of us focus on our shortcomings and our sins and our the things that we do wrong. And we think that God is angry at us or it keeps us from approaching Him. That is not His heart. That is not who He is. And He wants you to come into His presence. The Bible says, come boldly into the throne room of grace to receive, to obtain mercy in our time of need. We need to know who we are. The people that say, I'm a nothing, I'm a nobody, I can't, I don't have, I don't know, I'm so alone, I'm pitiful, woe is me. This tells me that they don't remember who they are or they don't know who they are. An interesting thing about us is too many times we're forgetful. We're forgetful people. We forget who we are. We forget who He is. And we need to remind ourselves on a regular basis that God is for us and not against us, that He is our God, our Father in heaven. He is Abba Father, Daddy God. He is for you, and He loves you, and He cares about you. And He has given you so much. He has brought you up. He's brought you up and out of sin, up and out of bondage, up and out of slavery. He's redeemed you from the curse of the law. He has healed you, delivered you, set you free, put your feet back on solid ground. He's forgiven you, washed you clean in the blood of Jesus. He's redeemed you. And we need to remind ourselves of these things because that's who we are. That's who we are to Him. The third thing is know who your enemy is. You know, it's important that you know who your enemy is. If you're going to grow spiritually, you're going to have to recognize the tactics of the enemy. There is someone that opposes you. There is an enemy that opposes you. He's looking for opportunity to attack and destroy you. The only way he can come in is if you have an unmaintained thought life. If you leave the door open to him, if you leave opportunities for him to move in your life, the Bible says in James to resist the enemy and he will flee. We see examples in the Scriptures of Eve in the garden. She had an unmaintained thought life. The enemy came and brought questions, ideas, and suggestions, and she listened to them. Adam also. I think over in the book of Acts, there was Ananias and Sapphira. They lied to the Holy Spirit about a piece of ground that they sold. And they gave their thoughts over to the enemy. You know, children at a young age, they learn about strangers. They're taught to beware of others who would harm. We also need to be aware that there's an enemy who is looking to harm. We should. 2 Corinthians says that we should not be ignorant concerning his devices. You should know how the enemy works. You should know how he comes. He doesn't ring your front doorbell wearing a red suit and a pitchfork. He comes with suggestions, ideas, and thoughts. If those ideas and thoughts and suggestions don't line up with the word, you need to resist them. His language is fear, self-pity, doubt, worry, unbelief, rebellion. That's how the enemy comes. Those are his languages. And we need to recognize, resist the enemy. You just have to tell him, you can't bring that stuff here. You need to know who he is. And if you don't know who he is, you can't resist him. Identify what's from him and resist him. The last one I want to give you today is knowing how to worship God. Knowing how to worship God will help you to grow spiritually. Expressing thanks to the Father. Knowing how to worship, being thankful. Worship is not asking God for things. It's spending time in his presence. It's allowing him to speak to you. It's allowing him to change you. There are times of prayer where we ask God for things. And that's good and necessary. But there should also be times when we minister to the Lord. Where we're not there asking for things. We're just appreciating who he is. We're recognizing his lordship. We're giving thanks and praise to him. There's something to be said about worshiping God. Taking time to know his character and experience his presence. Growth is when our children learn to say please and thank you without you reminding them. You know, part of growing spiritually is the same. When we worship God and we give him thanks and we think about all the wonderful things that he has done for us. When we worship him and we're grateful and thankful, we need to reassess what it means to be spiritual. Being spiritual isn't that you just go to church on Sunday. There's people all over this nation that are going to church on Sunday morning, but it doesn't guarantee that they're growing spiritually. We need to make sure that our heart is seeking the Lord, that you're desiring to grow spiritually, that you're wanting more of God in your thought life and in your heart, and that you're coming to know what he has said in his word, that you're beginning to apply these principles to your own heart and life. That you're just like a parent, they teach how to act in public. They teach how to act at the dinner table. They teach how to care for the house. They teach how to speak to adults. They teach these things to children so that when they grow older, they will have these skills in place. And then hopefully they can teach their children. That's the idea of spiritual growth, that when you get born again, you come and you learn these things. You learn who you are. You learn who your heavenly Father is. You learn who your enemy is. You learn how to worship God. You come to know how to do these things. And you learn to do them without someone prompting you or begging you or pleading with you. And you apply them to your life. And then hopefully you turn and teach others how they can grow spiritually. You know, God wants us to grow spiritually. Being spiritual, I believe, is being consistent. Say consistent. Being constant, being trustworthy, being reliable, being faithful, applying the Word of God to your life every day. You know, when you think about your own children for a moment, you know, as our children got older, and perhaps we left them home alone, We trusted them that they'd lock the door at night, that they'd turn the stove off, that they'd close the refrigerator door, that they would do the things that are necessary to take care of the house without burning it down. Right? You trust them. The same is true spiritually. You begin being consistent in your behavior, being trustworthy. That's what we're looking for. That's what God is looking for. He wants someone that won't burn down the house. He wants someone that's going to be consistent. Consistently, that when troubles come, they know how to apply the word. When the enemy comes and knocks on their door, they know how to resist him. That when they need something, that they know how to receive from heaven. They know how to use their faith. They know how to get things done. That's what our children as adults do. We trust that they get the job done. Well, the same is true spiritually. God is looking for people to grow up spiritually so that they can get the job at hand done. Reaching the lost, ministering to others, growing up spiritually. One last scripture I want to give you. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 20, it says, "Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." It's so important that we do the will of our Father in heaven. We want to know who he is. You know, that passage goes on to say, there'll be some that will come on that day and say, "Lord, didn't I do this and didn't I do that?" And he's going to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." We want to grow spiritually, not so that we can show off and say, "Look at me, I'm spiritual." We want to be able to be useful. We want to be fruitful. We want to be known by who we are. How many of you can think of someone irresponsible in your life? You don't have to give testimony, but you know someone in your life and they're an adult and they just haven't pulled it together. You know, they're just a train wreck. You know, I can think of someone in my life that, they just need help as an adult. They just need help. And, God, it's difficult. God wants to use us. But if we're not growing spiritually, if we're not having, a heart after God and learning and studying the scriptures and praying and seeking him and worshiping him and coming to know who we are and know who he is, it's difficult for God to use us. How many of you want to be used of God? The more you know, the more productive you can be. And again, it's not about spiritual pride. It's not about being better than other people. It's being more useful to God. That's what we want to be. Lord, here, the scripture that Bill was talking about this morning. "Here am I, Lord, send me." What is that talking about? It's being useful. Lord, send me. Not to show off I'm spiritual, not to say I can quote 12 verses and you can't. But it's, "Lord, here am I. Use me. Use me. Let me be your hands. Let me be your mouth. Let me be useful to the kingdom. Use me." We've been talking about reaching people. Aren't there people in your life that you want to reach? Well, the more you prepare your heart and the more you ask God to use you and the deeper you get spiritually, the more productive you'll be. I think about when I first got saved. I said, "Lord, I need this and I want that. And Lord, give me. And Lord, just help me. And amen." That's all I knew. I didn't know any of the word. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know. But it was all I knew. But as I've grown and as I've come to know the word and as I've understood prayer, I know that there's more to prayer than just asking for things. And I know that I don't have to walk away from prayer wondering if I'm going to get them. All of his promises, we sang that this morning too. We rest in his promises. Why can we rest in his promises? Because he's a God of his word. He said that he would do what he said he would do. And so we can rest in his promise that he will provide. We can rest in his promise that he will save. That doesn't mean we sit back and do nothing, but we continue to believe that in our heart. And we don't have to worry or wonder if our prayers got through because he said he heard us. He said he'll give to us. He said he'll take care of us. And we can have that peace in our heart, knowing that God is faithful. So we need to look at this area of spiritual growth and begin to stir ourselves up in this area. We should be a people that want to grow spiritually. When you sit down to read your Bible, don't read it just like you'd read a book to get through it. Lord, show me something this morning. As I'm reading this scripture, as I read my chapter, as I read this verse, Lord, show me something. Holy Spirit, you're the teacher. Show me something that I didn't see before. That's how you're going to grow. That's how you're going to develop. When you go to that place of prayer, Lord, show me what to pray for. Help me to pray. Holy Spirit, come and take hold with me. Help me to pray. Not just my desires, not just my wants, but Lord, is there something on your list? Is there something I can come in agreement with you about? Is there something you want me to pray about? Show me. Teach me, lead me, guide me in prayer. Growing up spiritually, it's God's will for your life. It is the will of God for your life that you grow spiritually. You should not be at the same place next year like you are today. There should be growth, and it should be measurable. Just like you can measure your children's growth. That they're doing what you've told them to do. Are you doing what the Word has said? Are you applying it to your life? Are you growing? Are you developing your mind? Are you developing your spirit? Are you growing spiritually? If you are, well, then you can see it in measurable ways. I want you to stand up, and we're going to pray today. I want you to purpose in your heart that you're going to put the words of God into practice in your life, that you're going to purpose in your heart to grow spiritually. You know, spiritual growth starts with a desire. Lord, help me to grow. Help me to grow. You know, it doesn't happen by accident. It happens because you purpose. Lord, here am I. Teach me. Lead me. Help me to grow. Cut off the things that aren't you. And help me to grow spiritually. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your word. Father, we know it's your plan that we are to grow spiritually. Lord, help us, each one of us, to grow spiritually. Lord, give us a new picture, a new vision for spiritual growth on the inside of us. Lord, help us to know who you are. Lord, help us to know our Heavenly Father. Lord, help us to know what you like and don't like. Help us to know who you are, your characteristics. Oh, Lord, help us to know your power. Help us to know the things you do and don't do. Lord, help us to know who you are. And help us to know who we are in relationship to you. All the things that you've said about us. All the things that you've called us to do. All the things you've deposited in us as believers. Lord, we help us to know our place in Christ Jesus. Lord, help us to understand who our enemy is, that we would have victory over him, that we would not be subject to his abuse, but Lord, that we could resist him and stand firm, holding on to the truth and walking in victory. And Lord, help us to worship. Help us to lift up our hearts and our hands and worship you, God. Help us to give thanks and praise your name, God. Help us to have fellowship, communion with you. Help us to spend time in your presence. Oh, that we could come to know you, that by just being around you, it would rub off on us, God. Oh, we thank you for it, Lord. Help us to grow spiritually. Lord, let this be a year of growth in our life. We're willing, God. We're going to lay down things that are not you, and we're going to be more like you. We purpose it in our heart. Help us, Holy Spirit. Teach us, lead us, and guide us. Bring us up in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord.